Emily here. Before we jump into our special tiny little mini episode for you guys, we wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you. The Garden Time podcast has been going on for a whole year now, and we couldn't have done it without all of you. You guys listening to our podcast and sharing it with friends and family, leaving us comments on our Facebook page, and sharing and reviewing it on iTunes and Stitcher and any other place where you can download your podcasts from. We appreciate it, and we are so thankful that all of you guys are enjoying the podcast as much as we enjoy making it for you. We look forward to making a whole nother year of great information to help you guys and us get down and dirty in our gardens. So without further ado, here is the October 2020 Spooky Plant Mini Episode. Woo! So, I am super excited to say that we have hit the 1 year mark, guys.
Yay us.
We have been on an entire podcast for a whole year. Now, last year for October, we released an episode with a bunch of great fall information, but we also included a countdown of 5 scary plants for the Halloween season, which for one is my favorite holiday. So, as a little treat for you guys, we're going to do a similar countdown with 3 more scary plants to get you in the mood for Halloween. My scary plant pick for this year is not actually a plant. It's called the bloody tooth or devil tooth fungus. So this is a fungus. It's not a plant. So funguses are actually made up of mycelia, which is sort of a root-like organism that's spread out across the environment. And however, when it hits like an ideal temperature and humidity, as well as has an abundance of nutrition, it will create a fruiting body, which is its reproductive structure, which is a mushroom in this case. So these guys are really neat because they are a mutual symbiote with conifer trees. But what makes them really spooky is that their mushroom has a bright white color, but it will have these little pores that will release this thick red fluid. Particularly what happens is when they are in a moist environment, because the mushroom is taking up so much water, it needs to kind of relieve some of the water that's in it. And it happens to just do that through this like red sappy color, but it basically looks like this white mushroom is bleeding, which I think makes it really cool.
Are those the spores, Emily?
So that's not the spores. It's just sort of like a sap. There's actually a lot of research still kind of going into why it does this and what exactly this red fluid is, because it's not sap in the same way we would think of a tree sap, but it's not just sort of like red water. Like, it's definitely got some like proteins and other stuff in there, but it's not the spores. So when it comes to mushrooms, you have the cap, which is the top part, and the underside of it is actually where the spores are located. So most mushrooms actually have what we call either gills or pores, which is where they keep all of their spores. And these would either be like lots of slots or lines, or this would be sort of like a porey thing. So next time you're at the grocery store, go grab some mushrooms and take a look at the underside, because they're kind of cool. But this also gets the name bloody tooth fungus because it doesn't have either gills or pores. It's got kind of this rugged scale or tooth-like projectiles underneath the cap that the spores form in and then drop out of underneath.
Wow.
I think they're kind of really creepy looking, particularly when they're young. As they get older, this kind of dries up and they turn just kind of a beige color. But again, I think they're really cool. I will say that these guys are not toxic, but they are super bitter, so they're not considered edible. But nonetheless, they are very dramatic and therefore very spooky, and I kind of love them.
They're very Halloween-esque, though.
They are.
I can see somebody painting this, like, or, Emily, this could be your Halloween costume.
It could be. I was actually at Target the other day, and this year they have a Venus flytrap costume and a fly costume. So it's like mom or dad can be the Venus flytrap and the kids can be flies. And I was like, this is really
cute. That is so cute.
All right. So another really creepy, spooky plant is the strangler fig. And there are several tropical and subtropical plant species. Perhaps the most famous hemipophyte is the towering strangler fig, which starts its life as a tiny seed in the canopy. The roots grow down to the forest floor where they take and root and begin to take nutrients from the soil. Gradually, the roots wrap around the host tree, they widen, and they slowly form a lattice work that surrounds the host trunk. The fig's crown grows foliage, which soon overshadows the tree, and eventually the host tree dies, leaving the fig with a hollow trunk, which is easily climbed thanks to many openings in the trunk. It's pretty diabolical.
It is.
That's crazy.
There's a Florida variety that's found down in like southern Florida and the Keys.
It is very cool. And it's very, you know, think about how much a plant has to actually, I guess you could say, think about to do this and evolve in this manner.
Yeah, from an evolutionary standpoint, it's really kind of cool.
It is. It is.
So, of course, I can't let you guys create a list without having a native plant on it. So, sorry, not sorry. One of our kind of spooky native plants is white snake root, or Adiratina altissima. And this, believe it or not, is also in the aster family. So it belongs to that Asteraceae. And this is a native plant that is often confused for garlic mustard, which is actually an invasive plant. But this is a terrible mistake because garlic mustard, although non-native, is considered an edible plant. On the other hand, white snake root is very poisonous to both animals and humans, which include humans that consume the milk of an animal that has eaten the plant. And this is commonly referred to as milk sickness. And the plant contains a toxic alcohol called tremetol, and it can be fatal to both animals and humans if consumed in large enough quantities. It causes weakness, muscular tremors, constipation and vomiting, and sometimes coma and death. So it was responsible for thousands of deaths in the early 19th century when settlers were crossing across the Midwest, mostly because people, A, didn't know what it was. It's not as if they were eating the plant itself, but they were consuming the milk of animals that had. And more notably, it has been attributed to causing the death of Abe Lincoln's mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's your native spooky plant.
That is spooky for October. And cool.
And it's not as much of an issue now, the milk sickness, because people are aware of it. And once it tends to grow in more wooded and moist areas. So, you know, when trees were cut down and pastures were created, it didn't grow as frequently. So it wasn't really available to animals. It was more likely to happen when animals were looking for food. And so they started to graze in the woodlands instead of the pasture. And that's when you started to get the milk sickness issues.
No, that's really cool. I feel like I got a history lesson too.
It's good for everybody.
Well, that's all we have for this episode, listener. We hope you enjoyed it and we'll tune in next month for more great gardening tips.
If you have any garden-related questions, please email us at umegardenpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can look us up on Facebook at Garden Time Podcast. That's Garden THYME Podcast. For more information about the University of Maryland Extension and these topics, please check out the University of Maryland Extension Home and Garden Information Center website at extension.umd.edu/HGIC. Thanks for listening and have fun getting down and dirty in your garden.
Goodbye. The Garden Time Podcast is brought to you by the University of Maryland Extension, Michaela Boley, Senior Agent for Horticulture in Talbot County, Rachel Rhodes, Agent Associate for Horticulture in Queen Anne's County, and Emily Zobel, Senior Agent Associate for Agriculture in Dorchester County.
University programs, activities, and facilities are available to all without regard to race, color, sex, gender identity or expression, sexual orientation, marital status, age, national origin, political affiliation, physical or mental disability, religion, protected veteran status, genetic information, personal appearance, or any other legally protected class.